Belgium.
Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuned in live this Monday, November 18th, 2019 on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. And it is a wild ride. The news is crazy, if you want to call it news. The propaganda is crazy. But as Brother Noah Hutchings used to say, God is still on the throne and prayer changes things. If you don't know who Brother Hutchings is, I will just say, I used to call him the Winnie the Pooh Mole. So, may he rest in peace. Anyway, crazy stuff. One of the things that I wanted to circle back around on is the issue of socialism, democratic socialism, and so forth. We're going to come back to that. We're going to sort of weave in and out of that and some other stuff. There is a confluence of subject matter. The social engineering of culture and society, manipulation of people. Dr. George Simon said, gosh, 30 years ago, was it? He was interviewed by Bill O'Reilly. Before he was, you know, Bill O'Reilly, and talking about manipulative people. Now we have this rise of personality disorders and subtypes and things. But according to people like Kevin Dutton, there's wisdom in psychopathy. You know, the wisdom of psychopaths. What saints, spies, and serial killers can teach us about success. This was a book that would have been unheard of in my grandparents' generation. The World War II generation would not have it. That's my speculation. How about that? That's my conjecture. So here we are in America today, and I want to check in on the developments of socialism. People don't realize, you know, this is not a new thing. There are some articles, and I thought it was interesting. My goodness, I'm not on a witch hunt. But you know, these articles, I found these two quite by accident. This one, for example, Mark Thiessen. Evils of socialism must be taught to young people. That's kind of an oxymoronic headline. And that's a Fox News opinion piece published yesterday, I believe. And you know what? Maybe we'll just start with the video. This is a bit of, I would call it, bombastic propaganda. And so not particularly where we're headed, but you'll see the point in a minute. So Mark Thiessen, by the way, is he related, any relation to Fritz? Different spelling. Union Banking Corporation, John Buchanan. Remember John Buchanan's expose? Whatever happened to John Buchanan? Anyway, so this is Mark Thiessen on the evils of socialism, which must be taught to young people. That's kind of, again, that's an oxymoron, but you'll see. Go ahead, please.
Of extreme poverty to a majority of middle class or wealthy people in the world since the fall of socialism.
Very true, Mark. But to your point, if just because you're Democratic doesn't mean you can't be seduced by socialism if you don't educate people about where that comes from. Once everything's good around you, you can fall for those ideas. You mentioned Ambassador Grinnell in the conversation you had. Here's a clip of it.
Certainly not something that the younger generation should look at and pretend it was an easier time or a better time or a response to the overages of capitalism. And so I think it is up to us to tell these stories.
So, Mark, how do we tell these stories in public schools and elsewhere?
Yeah, well, we're telling it on our podcast and you're telling it on this show. I mean, we've got to spread the word. If you look at almost any data, the literacy rates, the poverty rates, child mortality rates, everything has gotten better. And this is not because of foreign aid. It's not because of government. It's because of two factors. The collapse of socialism with the fall of, keep in mind, you know, we defeated two ideologies in the 20th century, Nazism and communism. Both were socialists. People forget the Nazis were national socialists. And then the communist socialist regime fell. And with that fall and the rise of democratic capitalism, the world has transformed. I mean, think about that. So the first time in 10,000 years, the world, for 10,000 years, people lived in abject poverty. That's the norm in human history. Only in this small sliver of 30 years have we gotten to the point where most people are living in middle class or above. That is because of capitalism. And the idea that we would now turn our backs on capitalism and embrace socialism is just insane.
Yeah. Print out his article. Give it to your kids. Let them read about this and so that they can learn what socialism really looks like. Thank you so much, Mark. You can find
Fox News. Please. Please do not print out his article and give it to your kids, because that's a hyperbolic and sensationalized account. Not to mention, it's part of the trap. The democratic capitalism is the answer to national socialism or democratic socialism or any other brand is not a legitimate argument. They're basically two sides of the same coin. So, we've sort of talked about that. We'll maybe talk about that some more this week. But, not the hyperbolic and sensationalized account. Let's just have an honest conversation. And one of the talking points in the conversation should include the esoteric nature of socialism and its origins. Next up in terms of clips is Manly Hall. Of all people, Manly Palmer Hall. We'll get to that in a second. But first, this article that I thought was pretty shocking, actually, published, you know where it's published. San Francisco and New York City begin to see the ugly side of socialism. What? Published at Forbes magazine. And that was 2 days ago. So that to me is pretty astonishing, and that is a good treatment on the practical street level outworking, quite literally in a sense, of socialism. San Francisco and New York City, NYC, begin to see the ugly side of socialism. So the article, you know, and it includes it's interesting. You know, you think of certain things recently, New York and Seattle. Hashtag fight for 15. How did that work? You know, we talked about that when that was happening back in 2017. And it's just amazing. You know, it's happening on the coasts simultaneously. And so it must be a spontaneous event, right? Just like the CIA always engineers and orchestrates abroad. It's a spontaneous event sparked by something or other that was contrived. You get all these people together and all of a sudden something happens. And yeah. Anyway. The article reads, San Francisco and NYC retail and restaurant sectors are beginning to see the ugly side of socialism. They were seeing it immediately in Seattle after the fight for 15 end and other places. Excuse me. But beginning to see the ugly side of socialism, store closures and layoffs as their owners cannot keep up with local government mandates that raise the cost of their businesses. Socialism is in fashion again in America. I wonder how that happened. It is anathema to our constitutional Republican roots. I would just leave it at that. Socialism is in fashion again in America. At the local level, that is, where governments have been passing mandates that tell corporations how to run their businesses. Maybe we should step back and talk about corporations and corporatism, Fordism, syndicalism, those kinds of things. Maybe we should do that. Maybe Mark Thiessen should include those talking points in his treatment of democratic capitalism. I digress. Like the Fair Work Week laws. These laws require employers to prepare working schedules for their employees ahead of time. And by the way, many of the larger national and multinational corporations have for years now been using software to do that. And I know companies like Home Depot, for example, for years have had a policy where the software schedules worker schedules, and they are not allowed to adjust those schedules at all. They're not allowed to trade shifts or do any of those things that traditionally people do in real life. You know, I have a school play to go to. I have this or that, or, you know, can we switch? So it's becoming more and more authoritarian, and a lot of those pushes are as a result of these kinds of things. So Fair Work Week laws. These laws require employers to prepare working schedules for their employees ahead of time. That's on top of minimum wage mandates, which tell employers how to pay their employees. The Fair Week mandate hits restaurants and retailers particularly hard, a sector which employs a large number of hourly paid workers. And by the way, while we're on the subject, I've mentioned before that the term TIPS used to be an acronym to ensure prompt service. Now, apparently it's the Terrorism Information and Prevention System. Anyway, but that's the idea was, you know, to ensure prompt service. And it wasn't just prompt. It could be proper, but you didn't have to say that back then because people had, you know, a work ethic and an understanding of that sort of inherent. So continuing, in theory, this mandate is a good thing. It addresses the unpredictable nature of employment in these two industries. Retail and restaurant employees are often victims of erratic work schedules, says Krista Hardwick, in-house legal counsel at Deputy. These hourly paid workers are typically scheduled with only a few days' notice, sent home early from shifts without warning, not paid properly for working overtime or during breaks, which means they can't properly plan childcare or coordinate with other part-time jobs accordingly. The Fair Work Week laws are designed to solve this problem. They enforce fair scheduling practices to ensure workers have ample notice, typically 2 weeks, of their schedules and paid accurately and on time for their work, Hardwick says. As the name suggests, Fair Work Week laws aim to make unpredictable scheduling practices tenfold more fair and predictable so that workers can manage their lives outside of shift work more easily. That's the pretty side of socialism, the pretty side of socialism. In practice, however, and see, that's always a thing, you know, the planning, it's coming. In practice, however, things are different. Implementing a fair work week is a complex task, according to Hardwick. As fair as the laws are for workers, they are incredibly lengthy and complex, and national food and retail chains with hundreds of locations across the country have as much trouble implementing them as more localized chains, she says. So what do you do? And that imposes a big compliance cost on employers who eventually pass it on to consumers in the form of higher prices, and in some cases they go out of business and send workers to the unemployment lines. That's the ugly side of socialism. But there's a more fundamental problem in setting schedules ahead of time. It requires the guessing of market conditions, the number of customers who are expected to visit restaurants and retail stores a couple of weeks down the road. Well, it is tricky when evaluating these kinds of workplace changes for locations like New York City and San Francisco because they have atypical norms when it comes to hiring, especially in certain industries, says John O'Bacon, CEO of John O'Bacon Consulting and author of People-Powered, How Communities Can Supercharge Your Business Brand and Teams. Not a book that I will put on my wish list anytime soon. Simply put, government mandates make it difficult to run businesses. When governments get involved in the private sector with mandates and regulations that dictate how companies are run, they're making it more difficult for them to do business, says Kerry Jackson, fellow in California Studies at the Pacific Research Institute. Thousands of businesses have fled California in the past 10 years for this reason. Yet politicians keep passing laws that give some companies little choice but to leave. It's not smart policymaking. Socialist governments from the former Soviet Union to Cuba and Venezuela tried to have companies plan. There's the planning. What they would produce, how many people they would hire, how they would work, and how they will pay them. That didn't work because it was an impossible task, given the lack of perfect foresight of decision makers. It didn't work in those societies, and it won't work in San Francisco and New York City, where businesses are beginning to see the ugly side of socialism. And so again, that's just an interesting article on practical outworking of socialism, which really sort of centers around this idea of planning, centralized planning. San Francisco and New York City, NYC, San Francisco and NYC begin to see the ugly side of socialism. Published over at Forbes, of all places, which I think is interesting. That is, you know, an interesting treatment on the subject. And speaking of that, there was another article which escapes me at the moment, and a discussion. I don't see that handy. I might have to come back to that. Anyway, and so, you know, we over the past several weeks, I talked about Scandinavian socialism and how that is a myth that has that talking point has eclipsed its usefulness by almost 30 years now as a reference point. There are government leaders who even say over there, you know, don't, you guys are ruining business for us over here by calling us socialists. It's driving companies away in the same fashion that this article talks about. Socialist, nah, you know, we don't need that kind of regulatory hassle. We'll go somewhere else. So that's the practical side of socialism. As far as the esoteric side is concerned, which again, you know, people could argue, well, that really, you know, that's not my concern. Well, it is, but I understand. You know, for those who say it's not your concern, read this Forbes article. Because I think that is a practical concern for many folks, not just directly involved, but certainly on the periphery as well in those communities. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. with all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, no child left behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Esoteric connection. We'll get to that in a second. You know, the again, the Reese Committee had much to say as far as this subject is concerned, as a result of investigations of the major tax-exempt foundations and comparable organizations. And you know, you bump into guys like John Dewey, the John Dewey Society, formed in 1936, you know, was a discussion of the Reese Committee. The great educator, he's known by revisionist historians. The John Dewey Society, formed in 1936, apparently for the twofold purpose of conducting research in the field of education and promoting the educational philosophy of John Dewey, which was what? In honor of whom the society was named, the eponymous society. It could be supposed, they said in the Reese Committee hearings, that those who were members of this organization would be devoted to the premises upon which Mr. Dewey had based his experiments. Wait, experiments? What's that all about? In education since 1896. Basically, these were pragmatic and a stimulus to empirical thinking. What's the problem with that? Well, they talked about the problem with empirical thinking too. He held that ideas were instruments and their truth or falsity depended upon whether or not they worked successfully. The broad study which called our attention to the activities of these organizations has revealed not only their support by foundations, but has disclosed a degree of cooperation between them, which they have referred to as an interlock. They have referred to as an interlock. I'm going to have to remember the article I just read recently. Was it the Humera article? No. A lawsuit. Humera, Abby Vai, you know, the flu zone stuff, Barbara Lo Fisher tweeting that flu zone's extra strength dose for seniors has been approved. But you know what? That's an old story. And you go back every 2 to 3 years or so, I mean, 2017, 15, 13, 11, there are lawsuits. There is this stuff, you know, first it was 3 times as strong as the normal dose. Now it's 4 times as strong, and there are always lawsuits that correspond. Here's one. Abby Vai sued for alleged antitrust violations over Blockbuster Med Humira. And this is the one that I was thinking of earlier this year. The maker of the blockbuster medication Humira created a patent thicket, quote unquote, what? To illegally maintain a monopoly over the drug so it could be sold at an ever-increasing rate to the U.S. market. A major union has claimed in a new, newly filed antitrust class action lawsuit. That was earlier this year. And, you read the story. They're related stories. Is this it? Yeah. April 2nd. 6 lawsuits target Abby Vai's Humira and its patent thicket. And so down in the story, Abby Vai amassed this patent thicket, according to Baltimore's suit, by filing continuation applications for certain patents. Quote, the continuation applications are substantially similar to the parent applications with minor variations, and time to maintain original applications priority date and seek even more duplicative patents, end quote, the suit says. But was Abby Vai illegally gaming the patent system or merely using the system to its advantage? And so anyway, you read these stories. Oh, here it is. Similarly, okay, Baltimore suit claims that Abby Vai's anti-competitive conduct between as early as 2012 in the form of a citizen's petition to stall biosimilar competition. Abby Vai executives have also made clear their intentions to use the more than 100 patents to deter competition. And backing up a little bit further, the suit alleges that Abby Vai used its patents to enter into agreements with 8 other drug companies. Sounds like IG Farben's Council of Gods. Well, I'll finish that thought on the other side of the break, because this obviously dovetails into many other things these days. Stick around. We'll be right back after this short break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Thank you. Extend your life with Extendovite.
When your doctor tells you you have bad cholesterol or blockages in the arteries, what do you do? When diet and exercise is not enough, we try medications and hope for the best. For the last two decades, I have been telling people about a natural method to help solve these problems and more. Extendivite can help maintain cardiovascular health and lower blood lipid levels in adults. The seven herbs in Extendivite are known to work together synergistically to get the results we hope for. There are many testimonials on Extendivite's effect on circulatory-related ailments. Get Extendivite today to start your journey back to a healthier life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or see us on amazon.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Welcome back. So just to conclude this thought real quick, these two stories I saw recently, this one yesterday. AbbVie's Humira on pace to become biggest seller by 2024, which is interesting. And then the Motley Fool article, better buy Eli Lilly versus AbbVie. So which one? And that's one of those, you know, that's a bifurcation fallacy. Which do you drink, Coke or Pepsi? Which one's a better investment, a better buy? Neither. So, you know, never mind the fact that you can do a search in your favorite search engine for AbbVie or Humira lawsuits and see that that's, you know, not a new discussion. But there are interesting complications. Never mind the fact that some of the cancer work, for example, is like all of these companies, you know, the products they create end up causing a fair amount of cancer. That's part of the class action lawsuits. But this was the piece that I was reading. The suit also alleges that AbbVie used its patents to enter into agreements with eight other drug companies, quote, in a concerted effort to delay biosimilar entry into the U.S. until at least 2023. End quote. While permitting entry of biosimilar versions of Humira in Europe this year, these agreements operated as an, quote, anti-competitive scheme to restrain competition in the market for Humira, end quote. And that's part of the patent thicket conversation. Anyway, so then you have articles like this Yahoo Finance article. AbbVie's Humira, my brain wants to do that. I don't know why it always does that. AbbVie's Humira on pace to become biggest seller by 2024. Isn't that, what a coincidence? You know, earlier this year we heard that company had entered into agreements, patent agreements, with eight other drug companies in a concerted effort to delay biosimilar entry in the U.S. until at least 2023. That's not corruption. That's not illegal. That's not market rigging. That's not racketeering. And if you're participating in that, it's not insider trading. It's just good business. Come on. You know, you need to grow up, Chris. This is how the world works. You know, we need to talk about the wisdom of psychopaths. What serial killers can teach us about success, right? So anyway, and of course, you know, these kinds of products come with their own brand of ridiculous commercials. They have this series of commercials where they use the slogan, the body of proof, like this one. Go ahead, please.
This is my body of proof.
Proof of less joint pain.
And clearer skin.
Proof that I can fight psoriatic arthritis.
With Humira.
Humira targets and blocks a specific source of inflammation that contributes to both joint and skin symptoms. It's proven to help relieve pain, stop further irreversible joint damage, and clear skin in many adults. Humira is the number one prescribed biologic for psoriatic arthritis.
Humira can lower your ability to fight infections. Serious and sometimes fatal infections, including tuberculosis and cancers, including lymphoma, have happened, as have blood, liver, and nervous system problems, serious allergic reactions, and new or worsening heart failure. Tell your doctor if you've been to areas where certain fungal infections are common, and if you've had TB, hepatitis B, are prone to infections, or have flu-like symptoms or sores. Don't start Humira if you have an infection.
Ask your rheumatologist about Humira.
Go to mypsaproof.com to see proof in action.
I'm constantly amazed and astonished. It leaves me speechless. How does that work? You know, the disclaimers are longer than the actual commercial, and the body of proof is not proof. It's proof of nothing. It's, you know, paid actors smiling about nothing. This is my body of proof. What is? And so, you know, you can exchange psoriasis and joint pain for, well, side effects that may include terminal cancer and death. by various other complications. But, you know, ask your Walmart healthcare professional. Actually, there was the Walgreens. It's just astonishing to me, this kind of conditioning. And of course, you know, that reminds me of the socialism discussion. John Dewey and his educational philosophy seem to be hard at work in America these days. The interlock. Always creating these monopolies. And that, again, you know, socialism is very interested in that because it allows certain interests to maintain hegemonic influence and dominance in places. You know, the question is always who decides. So anyway, the interlock, the Reese Committee discussed, and its coordinated efforts across the pond. I want to get to that before I go on too much longer. So, just briefly from the Reese Committee hearings, Aaron Sargent talking, he says, you know, giving his facts, not an opinion. Giving facts, first of all, and approaching the problem of foundation influence, the subversive teaching problem is a foundation problem. The foundation problem, in turn, is a political problem with many ramifications. From the American standpoint, it had its beginnings shortly before the turn of the century in the 1890s. This movement is closely related to Fabian socialism, which became established in Great Britain about 1885 and developed into a movement which has undermined and almost destroyed the economic system of Great Britain. When the beachhead was first established in our country, we had three bulwarks of defense. First, there was a sound tradition founded on Americanism. Secondly, a written constitution. And finally, and you can still go to your elected official's office and get a copy of the Constitution carried around in your pocket. Tax dollars pay for that. By the way, do people know, speaking of you know, the back to the big pharma discussion with the flu zone discussion and those lawsuits, do people realize that 75 cents of every vaccine goes to basically supports the NVIC program, National Vaccine Injury Compensation Program? Do people, I mean, it's ironic. It's not funny, it's sad, but definitely ironic. And there are plenty of those articles as well. Anyway, continuing, because we got to get to the Manly Palmer Hall clip. I want to do that in this segment. We're running out of time. So, first defense, a sound tradition founded on Americanism. Again, John Adams telling us, telling Hezekiah Niles, here's what you guys should be doing, telling William Tudor in the same year, 1818, James Otis was, in John Adams' opinion, the earliest and principal founder of one of the greatest political revolutions ever to have occurred among men. So first line of defense, a sound tradition founded on Americanism. Secondly, a written constitution. And finally, federal judicial power in the courts capable of enforcing constitutional rights. And I think of, in particular, Peter Thiel's conversation with Tyler Cowen and what he said about the judicial system that modifies that. And going back further, Alfalfa Bill Murray, we should play that clip, you know, Oklahoma's ninth governor, Alfalfa Bill Murray, most colorful, you know, and him saying, I think a judicial despotism is as dangerous to the liberties of the people as a military despotism. What does that mean? So you have to go back 100 plus years and understand that all of those hijinks. Again, William Willoughby is a guy no one's ever heard of. Everyone should be reading Principles of Judicial Administration. Be familiar with that. Understand how things were turned upside down, and how we went from a system of common law to skipping forward. You know, that was based on the establishment of the Swift versus Tyson case, 1842, the general federal common law, the law of the land. That getting flipped upside down, 1938, Erie Railroad versus Tompkins, Supreme Court overturning that standing, ruling that, declaring that there is no federal general common law. And so what is it? It's administrative, it's public policy. Anyway, so that was the third line of defense. Federal judicial power in the courts capable of enforcing constitutional rights. But, you know, again, I mentioned recently the Leo Amery story. I talked about that last, I think, Thursday. And, you know, a couple of years ago, I think I posted that somewhere on social media back in 2017. Anyway, you know, Allison Weir talking about that discussion and why it's important. And you have Leo Amery palling around with the likes of Chaim Weissman and Louis Brandeis, Supreme Court Justice Louis Brandeis, all Zionist radicals. Why is that significant? Well, this third line of defense was being attacked by the same folks. So continuing from the Reese Committee hearings, this, the radical intellectuals attacking that system and those three bulwarks of defense, as Aaron Sargent put it, the radical intellectuals attacking that system relied upon propaganda and brainwashing, which continues to this day, by the way. They organized an attack upon patriotism, challenging basic American philosophy founded on the doctrine of natural law. You know, we talked about that Blackstone, you know, the law, the laws of nature and nature's God. They sought to create a blackout of history by slanting and distorting historical facts. They introduced a new and revolutionary philosophy, one based on the teachings of John Dewey. As early as 1892, they sought to establish the federal income tax to pave the way for national federal socialism. 100 years later, how's that going? This had the effect of putting the people on an allowance. That's what you should think of when you think of the UBI. It's not a universal basic income. It's not an income. It's an allowance. It's a stipend. Giving the national government unlimited power to spend for socialist purposes. How does that work? Again, ask the Scandinavian folks. And reducing the people to its will. But it's not the government. It's a small coterie of powerful and influential folks who don't want to be challenged. It's technocrat. It's technocracy, technocrats. We will tell you what's best for you, which, again, according to Hayek, sounds frankly authoritarian, doesn't it? The Great Utopia, Chapter 2 of The Road to Serfdom. The French writers who laid the foundations of modern socialism had no doubt that their ideas could be put into practice only by strong dictatorial government. To them, socialism meant an attempt to terminate the revolution, quote-unquote, the Marxist revolution that's constantly happening, never ends. Remember those competing and conflicting interests, the irreconcilable conflict. Guys like Norman Dodd talked about, as, you know, he was told by the very folks who had perpetrated and perpetuated this irreconcilable conflict. Terminating the revolution by a deliberate reorganization of society on hierarchical lines and by the imposition of a coercive spiritual power. where freedom was concerned, the founders of socialism made no bones about their intentions. Freedom of thought they regarded as the root evil of 19th century society, and the first of modern planners, Saint Simon, even predicted that those who did not obey his proposed planning boards would be treated as cattle. And that's how this works. So, continuing in Aaron Sargent's testimony, he said eventually the judicial power itself was to be undermined by court packing and by attacks calculated to make the court subject to the executive. But it's not the executive. Again, you think of Ralph McGahee's words, you know. CIA is not now, nor has it ever been, a central intelligence agency. It is the covert action arm of the president's foreign policy advisors. Has that changed? Does anyone think that Donald Trump does anything of his own? And speaking of these warnings and socialism, the Obama warning, you know, Barack Obama says, hey, lefties, don't lean too far left. We'll be right back.
On board to the Life Change Tea Regiment. Brew, steep, and drink for a gentle, taste-great cleanse. It's changing how they feel. See what everybody's talking about. Log on to GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Life Change Tea aids in digestive slowdown and helps people get moving down a healthy path. We won't make claims. We'll just let you decide. Experience is much better than a commercial anyway. If you want results, log on to GetTheTea.com and purchase your Super Strength Cleansing Tea. You won't be disappointed. And if you're looking for some mind-body suggestions, go to YouTube and punch in the search bar Health Matters Now. That's Health Matters Now. Put power into your health now. So, GetTheTea.com, that's GetTheTea.com for Super Strength Tea. And YouTube, Health Matters Now. That's Health Matters Now for valuable suggestions. GetTheTea.com, the tea that makes you go.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
While Frank Sinatra sings, stormy weather, the flies and the
Welcome back. That was interesting. You know, the way that things are just, I mean, even Barack Obama, gosh, you know, so The Guardian reported yesterday, Democratic candidates reject Obama's warning of going too far left. And I wish I could find that clip. I don't have that handy right now. Anyway, the article reads, Democratic 2020 presidential candidates have rejected criticism from former President Barack Obama after he warned the field of White House hopefuls not to veer too far to the left because it would alienate voters. And this is ironic because here's where we've come. You know, I still think we should play that clip of Hillary Clinton. If people really understood what she was saying, I mean, the hubris of her to make that statement. And by the way, what happened with that little hiccup of her her flight? Oops. Plane with Hillary Clinton aboard returns to gate after mechanical issue. Arkansas sighted, nearly? Anyway, I thought that was interesting yesterday as well. But, you know, you think about, I mean, maybe we should play the Hillary Clinton's CNN YouTube debate excerpt from 2007 and, you know, Breitbart's 2012 CPAC little clip, you know. Speaking of Barack Obama, you know, we're going to out him this time. This election cycle, we're going to out him. We're going to tell the whole story. Thank you, Bill and Bernadine. And speaking of that, who's that guy that was raised by them, Bill Ayers and Bernadine Dorn? He's running for, is he running or elected? I think he got elected. I mean, yeah, if I remember right. Speaking of far-leaning folks, radical folks, speaking of the radical intellectuals attacking the American system, you know, that discussion from the Reese Committee, a decade later after the Reese Committee hearings, it was embedded like a tick. That had already been by then, but, you know, that was discussed by folks. Well, speaking of Breitbart, he talked about that. And his experience in college with radical intellectuals. And again, I mean, the Reese Committee told us back in the 50s, this is a subversive teaching problem, which is a foundation problem, which is a political problem with many ramifications. Anyway, second hour coming up. Stick around. We'll be right back after this short break.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. September 2018. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I've been using Extendivite for many years now. May 2018. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. March 2018. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. February 2018. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.